Hey folks, welcome to the Kira Banks Show and week 35 of A Year of Self-Love Journal. This week's affirmation is, I get to decide who I am. I don't have to accept anyone's version of who I'm supposed to be. Now this is some layers because yes, you get to decide who you are. And the fact that we are reaffirming the reality that we don't have to accept any version that other people say we're supposed to be means we've probably picked some up along the way. We probably have picked up some ideas about who we're supposed to be, who we shouldn't be. And that requires us to slow down and reflect and be honest. And if I can be honest with you, in this work of self-love, I've seen people try to jump over this piece of what they've been told that they're supposed to be because they're like, well, I should just be able to just be who I am. And if you're having the conversation with yourself of wanting to stand on your two feet and assert who you are, you're probably holding on to some versions or some, maybe even some baggage around putting down versions of yourself that other people told you you should be. So it's worth reflecting on those versions, on those narratives. And one of the ways you can do that are through the questions from this week. The author, Jamila White, invites us to ask ourselves, how would our family growing up describe who we are? And thinking about that narrative, was it true? Was it ever true? Is it still true? And so when I think about the narrative of how I was in my family, I think there was a story of me being very particular, very, for lack of a better word, bossy. And I think that there was a way in which that narrative was true. But I also think if people had slowed down to see what was going on around me, to me, they would have understood where that bossiness was coming from, the desire or need to control some things in a space where I wasn't always able to assert myself or things that were happening that were outside of my control. And so when I had corners of my world where I could tell, you know, my parents, I want to know where everyone's going to be. I want to see the calendar. Who's got to be where, right? I think they could have been curious about where that was coming from. Or maybe it's more of be less judgmental of my bossiness in a way that, you know, in some ways I probably needed to think about how other people were experiencing that, but to wonder why is she feeling the need to assert herself in this way? Because I certainly wasn't bossy in all areas of my life, but I think there were some spaces where it came off as bossy and it was really a desire to like be seen, be considered, and it looked like control in a space where I could control when it was really like a desire to be seen, to be connected with. Yeah, if that makes sense. I'm even thinking about it as I'm reflecting with you right now of like that narrative of me as bossy was something that I kind of picked up on. I was like, oh, people seem to react to me telling, you know, saying what I think should happen, not always telling people what to do, but having an opinion, right? Like I learned pretty early on, some people were amused by the fact that I had an opinion. Some people were not amused by the fact that I had an opinion. And I once played Lucy from Peanuts in a school play. It was Peanuts. And that character felt very familiar in that, you know, she has her kind of her space of being a know-it-all of like telling people what to do or how to move or what to think. And that was something that was I think sometimes a character that I put on because I got a reaction from people and they would actually listen to me. And there are ways in which that narrative is still true. I am still telling people what I think and getting paid to do it. So in some ways it served me. And then there are other ways where I'm having a conversation with whether it's a colleague or a friend and I'll say something and it's like they don't hear me. And I wonder sometimes if it's if it's like a contradiction of them expecting me to be bossy when I don't, I'm not always barking and telling people what to do, but I have an opinion, or I've seen things work out this way. I suggest that they consider an approach, and I'm not yelling it. I'm not being demanding. I'm not requiring it, but it is a thought through, well researched opinion, and they don't hear me. And so when I think about that narrative of me being bossy, is it true now? Can I boss people around? Yes. Do I think that that's my like true nature and all of who I am? Not at all. And there are times when I kind of am more laid back and not as demanding that I've noticed people don't hear me, which might mean that I then lean into that bossy role because I'm like, well, at least they'll hear me if I'm being bossy. And I wonder if some of that has to do with like the way in which people hear Black women or assume Black women will show up. But that's a whole nother podcast. I'm giving you some of my own reflection as I ask this question. You know, what are the other versions of me that people have told me I should be? And how do I want to show up? How do I want to be? How do I want to be in relationship and connection to people? And so I think there's some of that narrative that was given to me and some of it that I definitely earned and some of it that I don't like to continue in the same way as I've gotten older. And another one of the questions that was asked was, what characteristics, traits, talents, habits run in your family that you're proud of? And are there any patterns that you've been determined, you know, not to repeat? So like things that you want to choose differently. And this is a good exercise to reflect on because so often we get caught in a binary of like, I don't want to be like them. I want to be just like them, or I'm breaking generational curses, or my family could do no wrong. And we don't have to stay stuck in that binary, the either or, good, bad. I really invite you in this reflection to think about this question in terms of like characteristics, talents, traits, like personality characteristics, profiles of like where your strengths are, hobbies, all of that, to like really reflect on what's been your lineage of those who've come before you in your family, and to notice what might be fitting for you or coming up for you. When I think about like my grandparents in particular, I had one grandparent who did not go beyond an eighth grade level of formal education, but was really strong in math. I shouldn't say but, and was really strong in math, didn't have that opportunity to, you know, continue on in formal schooling, but ended up owning a corner store. And he had a very successful store and he did the books and was, you know, able to figure things out in his head as he worked with vendors, like really, really good with numbers. And that is a skill that I see more so in one of my children. Both of my children actually have that strength than myself. But then when I was reflecting on this, I was like, wait a minute, I don't do the same kind of math that my grandfather did or that my kids seem to excel in. But I do statistics and I understand them and I interpret those numbers, right? Like, so there is maybe something there in terms of a facility of with numbers or being able to like make sense of them and make meaning of them and apply. Like statistics is a very applied thing. Like I use the numbers to answer research questions, just like he used his numbers to run his business. And so it got me thinking about not just what pieces about him or other people am I like, I don't want to do that. But I do appreciate this part of how he showed up in the world and a skill and a trait that he had. And I see some of that in me. And so I'm sharing that again to say like, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. And so think about like what pieces of your family history are there that you're like, yeah, okay, I can see that reflected in me and I could foster that. Or I see that reflected in me and I don't want to foster that, right? So a little bit of both is of recognizing the good and the bad, quote unquote, but not throwing people away just because there might be something about them that you don't want to continue to look for other, they're like the fullness of who they are and other strengths that they might have had, even if there are things that you want to end, generational curses you want to break. Yeah. And then this other piece around, like, as you're thinking of shedding those versions of who people say you're supposed to be, it can be a process. Like, we can acknowledge who we want to be, but sometimes it's important for us to, like, be in a practice of shedding who we've been told we should be. And doing that once isn't enough. Sometimes it is, but oftentimes is not. And there are different strategies that you can use to, like, recognize versions of yourself that you've kind of picked up or you've held on to. And the decision to be like, you know what? I noticed that and I don't want to pick that up. I don't want to hold that close. Even just noticing that you're holding a version of yourself that you should be in and you don't want to hold it is creating some disruption. Because if we don't stop and recognize it, it just stays stuck to us and we just keep holding that version. But if we can just create some distance between ourselves and that version, we can be like, huh, curious. I wonder where that came from. Oh, I have some ideas where that came from. Let me observe it, notice it. I don't want to hold it closer. I might want to try to put it down. And we can be in a way in conversation with those different versions of ourselves rather than just la, 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 act like they're not there, which doesn't work, especially when they're stuck to us and they've been stuck to us for so long. Or just kind of say, oh yeah, we put that down once and we're done. There's nothing wrong with you if you've tried to shed previous versions of yourself or projections of what other people say you should be, and you find yourself reenacting them again. It took, think about how many years or reps it took for that to get stuck to how you see yourself. It's going to take some reps and time for you to shed it. Now, sometimes it's like, whew, that's gone. That's a weight off my shoulder. I am done carrying that. And it's like that. But don't beat yourself up if it takes some practice. As you've done some of this reflection for this week, one of the things that the author talks about is like shaking it off and like movement and how if we're feeling like we're feeling bogged down or stagnant in our reflection of like what we should be and what we want to be and blah, 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 that we literally can get up and shake and move and move, like through movement, we can also shed things, take a walk, do a dance, literally shake. What is that? Taylor Swift? Shake it off? Anyway, I digress. And this last exercise invites you into thinking about what you want to cultivate. So doing some reflection about versions of ourselves that we have held on to or that people have shoved in our hands to hold on to, shaking it off, shedding it, and then thinking about, all right, what characteristics might have helped create that dynamic that I'm reflecting on? And what characteristics do I want to cultivate moving forward for myself, my chosen family, and my family that I will build over time? And that is often helpful because it's intentionally anchoring where we're headed in our vision of what we value and where we want to go, what we want to cultivate. And so it's important as you're reflecting on maybe past dynamics, things you want to shed, that you also anchor yourself in the present of what you are cultivating and want to cultivate now so that you can build those reps to create an environment that matches your values over time. So I hope this week was helpful in helping you assert like who you are, knowing that you might have been told some shoulds and what you should be and what you shouldn't be. You get to decide. You get to decide. You have that power. And even if it takes practice in putting down those other versions, ultimately, it's your decision how you show up and who you are and what you cultivate in yourself in terms of self-love and in your family. Thanks for joining me on The Kira Banks Show. I'll see you next time.
Have tea to spill or something you want to ask Dr. Banks? Contact her at kirabanks.com/stories. Or stories@raisingequity.org. Thanks for listening.